Good morning. It is a pleasure to be with each and every one. I am excited to be here, to be in your presence as you encourage me, and hopefully I can be of some encouragement to you as we are continuing on our journey as Christians, on toward the great prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We're here to worship God this morning. It is a beautiful day He has blessed us with. I'm just glad to be here. And I look out and I see that we have a number of visitors who are with us. We just want you to know that you are our honored guests. And we are encouraged by the fact that you have prioritized spiritual things. Whatever it is you're doing today, you have saw fit to set aside time to come and worship God on His day. And that is an encouragement to us. And we want you to know that you are welcome here at any time. We hope that you find that this is a warm and friendly environment in which we are here and focused on God and glorifying Him. And it may be that you have been visiting with us for quite some time. Maybe you've been among our number in weeks gone by, and you've made some observations about us. I do hope that you have seen that we are welcoming. And maybe you have made the observation that we make it a regular habit to sing with one another and to pray with one another. Maybe you've made the observation that we have two evangelists, myself and Sid Latham. And maybe as you've been coming and sitting among us, you've heard us reference our elders or our shepherds, Troy, Brent, and Chris. And it may be that you have asked yourself, okay, I understand who the preachers are and I understand what the preachers do, but what about these shepherds? What do they do? What does the Bible say about them? Well, this morning I want to give a very basic lesson that is simply introducing us to the concept of shepherds in the New Testament church. What the Bible says about them, and some of the words that are used to describe them. And I want us to see if we can lay a foundation of who they are and what they do. Because in the coming weeks, I want to build on this foundation and dig a little bit deeper into this concept of shepherding, which is an essential, crucial part of God's design for His church. But for now, I just want to simply make this statement about shepherds. They are individuals who are responsible for guiding God's people. Just like a physical shepherd out in the field is responsible for guiding and leading the physical, actual sheep. And this idea of shepherding is not a new concept when it comes to the people of God. You could go back into the Old Testament and you can clearly see that God is portrayed as the ultimate shepherd and Israel, His people, are the sheep. So for example, in Psalm chapter 78 in verse 52, the psalmist is speaking in reference to the Exodus. He says that then God led out His people like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. Or in Psalm 100, verse 3, know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. And so God is the ultimate shepherd. But if we also look in our Old Testaments, we'll see that God gave certain individuals the responsibility of being His representatives on earth. In other words, He gave them the responsibility to shepherd His people and to shepherd in a way that reflected His character. So we think about priests, or we think about judges, and most notably kings. For example, in 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 2, the tribes of Israel are speaking to David, and they say, in times past, when Saul was king over us, it was you who led out and brought in Israel. And the Lord said to you, you shall be the shepherd of my people Israel, and you shall be prince over Israel. So here we have the example of King David being shepherd over the people of Israel. In fact, this was the responsibility of all the kings. They were to lead in a way that imitated the character of the great shepherd, Jehovah God. They were supposed to provide physical guidance, physical protection, physical nourishment, but even more importantly, they were supposed to provide for the spiritual needs of the people. They were to uphold the law of God. They were to implement the law of God. They were to be examples of godliness and righteousness. Now, sadly, we know that most of the kings failed in this. None of them were perfect. Some did better than others. We have David as an example of one who did better than most. We have Solomon, who started out doing really well. You have Hezekiah, you have Josiah, but in general, most fell woefully short. But regardless of their performance, I want us to see that this sheep-shepherd relationship has always been a part of how God relates to his people. And this concept carries over into the New Testament church as well, where shepherds are appointed over local congregations. And I want us to see this as we consider Acts chapter 2. You have the establishment of the church and the growth of the church. And at first, the church was located in Jerusalem, but as the gospel continued to be taught and to spread, naturally, the church began to grow, the geographical borders of the church began to increase, and you had Christians beginning to meet in various cities throughout the Roman Empire. And so you had the church at Galatia, and the church in Corinth, and the church at Thyatira, and the church at Laodicea, and it goes on and on and on. And God, as these churches began to be implemented and begin to grow, he had a specific design, a specific structure that he intended for each one of them. And that structure is concisely presented to us in Paul's letter to the Philippians in chapter 1, verse 1. I want to encourage you to go over there and just read this with me. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul says, "To all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers," or shepherds, "and deacons." So here in this passage, we have God's intended design for the church. There are saints, all of us, but then there are also to be deacons, those who are special servants of the church. And then there are shepherds, or overseers, who guide the congregation spiritually. They are an integral part of God's design, and this is seen in Acts chapter 14, verse 23, where multiple elders were appointed by Paul and Barnabas in every church, in Lystra and Iconium and Antioch. You may recall that Titus was left in Crete so that he could put what remained in order and to appoint elders in every town as Paul had directed. Now, I want you to think with me for a second about some of the terms that I've been using. The primary term that I'm using today is shepherd. But you've also heard me use the term elder, and you've also heard me use the term overseer. And the reason that I'm using these different terms is because these are biblical terms, but they're all different terms that refer to the same role. It's kind of like the word teacher. We understand what a teacher is, but a teacher can also be described as an instructor, an educator, a coach, a mentor. They all refer to the same thing. However, all of those different terms present different nuances to what a teacher actually does. And the same is true with the terms overseer, elder, and shepherd. They all point to slightly different aspects to the role. And I want to point that out for the remainder of our time by looking at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, we're going to look at the first few verses there. Here the Apostle Peter gives some encouragement to the elders. And in that encouragement, he uses these three different terms, and we're going to discuss the nuances of each. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. "So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. You'll notice in these few verses that Peter refers to these leaders of local congregations as elders in verse 1. He refers to them as shepherds in verse 2. In fact, if you were to look at the Greek word for shepherds, it's poimeno, which refers to where we get the term pastor as well. And so shepherds and pastors are synonymous, and that's an important thing to understand. But also notice that he tells the elders that they are to exercise oversight. This is where we get the term overseer. And so all three of these are used to describe the same role in the local church. And so let's break these down individually so we can learn a little bit more about what an elder is and what an elder does. You'll notice the first term that Peter uses is elder. This implies, based on the name, one who's older. Somebody who has some maturity, some spiritual wisdom. And this is maturity and spiritual wisdom that is lightly gained through life experiences and observations. They've been able to go through some things that maybe others have not. And so their mentality, their perspectives have been shaped and honed in a mature way. But I want you to notice the plurality here before we move on. He's exhorting the elders among them. And that may not seem like much, but that is a very important thing to pause for just a moment and talk about. Because always when we're talking about shepherds in a local church, we're always talking about a plurality of elders or a plurality of shepherds in the church. For example, in Acts chapter 20, another passage in which Luke uses those three terms to describe the role of an elder, he refers to Paul calling for the elders of the church at Ephesus. Or in Titus chapter 1 verse 5, a passage we've already alluded to, Titus was to appoint elders in every town. And so the number of elders that a local congregation is to have isn't specified so long as it's just not one. It could be 2, it could be 4, it could be 6, it could be 10, it could be 15. And so remember what I said, shepherd, the Greek word poimeno, is where we also get the word pastor. And so you think about maybe a one pastor arrangement that maybe you've heard about. Well, that seems to go against the biblical example, the biblical model that God has for his church. Churches are to have multiple elders or multiple pastors as opposed to just one. And I think there's great wisdom in this. You think about the biblical concept of and teaching of strength in numbers. Think about Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12, where Solomon says that two are better than one. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. There's strength in numbers. There's the ability for these shepherds, these leaders, to bounce things off of each other, to sharpen one another, to correct one another when one may be thinking poorly about something, or maybe they can help strengthen each other and collectively put their minds together to lead the congregation in the way it should go. Proverbs chapter 15 verse 22 says that without counsel plans fail, but with many advisors they succeed. Now it's not like the elders are seeking the advice of a lot of other people, although that's something that they can do, is seek godly counsel elsewhere. But the point of that passage is again simply to say that there is strength in numbers. When multiple people put their heads together to solve problems and to lead and to guide. And then it also, again, avoids the temptation to become power hungry. You think about, again, a one pastor arrangement. And this is not to say that this happens all the time. But it does happen. There are times when a church will adopt the one pastor model. And that pastor is the one who makes all the decisions. Is in charge for the check of the checkbook. Of all the finances, and the next thing you know, that church is on a quick downward spiral to destruction. It has happened, and it happens. And so the wisdom of the multiple pastor arrangement is evident. But then we move on. I want us to go to the next term, one of the other terms that's presented in our text, and that is the term overseer. This is somebody who diligently oversees the church, or they look after and care for the church. And when I say that they look after and care for, I want to make a distinction. The primary function of an elder or a shepherd is to look after and care for the spiritual needs of the church. I think we can go to Acts chapter 6 for a great example of this. There was an issue among the Christian widows, and they were being neglected. And so the apostles, they allowed for certain men to be appointed, and those men could take care of the physical needs of those widows while the apostles continued on in their spiritual work. And I think that's a great example, a great model for what the elders do. They focus primarily on the spiritual needs of a congregation. They provide that oversight. And so they can look out and they can see maybe areas of weakness in a congregation. And they can talk about different teaching that may need to be given in order to strengthen up and shore up the congregation. Or maybe there's certain characteristics or habits of a congregation that they're able to observe, and they say, we need to be careful that we don't continue down this path. Maybe we need to focus on different things and walk in a way that helps us grow closer to God. There's oversight. But think about that term oversight. A lot of times we think about it and it sounds very distant, almost like a corporate oversight mentality. Well, here's management, and at a distance they're overseeing what we're doing, and then once a year they pop in unexpected and they observe everything that's going on. That's not what we're talking about here. When we're talking about the oversight of elders, the oversight of shepherds, it involves shepherds being involved. Them knowing the congregation. If proper oversight is going to be given, they have to know the people that they're leading. They have to understand their personalities. They have to understand their backgrounds. They have to communicate. They have to know. That's what true oversight is. It's not distant. It's involved. And that kind of segues into the last term that is used in 1 Peter chapter 5. And that is shepherd. Again, that poimeo, the term that's synonymous with pastor. It's interesting, in the New Testament, oftentimes when shepherd or pastor is used, it's used in its verbal form. And so in other words, a shepherd is not about what they are. It's about what they do. They're actively shepherding the flock of God, the sheep of God. And that's a very important thing. This is an active role, and we'll talk about that here in just a minute. But I want you to again notice in the text that Peter calls them to shepherd the flock of God that is among them. Another point that might be easy to breeze over, but an important distinction. Because the shepherds are focused on the local congregations that they are a part of. They're responsible for knowing the sheep here, knowing the spiritual needs of the sheep among them. They're not getting involved with other congregations. They care for other congregations as fellow Christians. But their primary responsibility is to lead and to guide the sheep that they have been set over, the sheep that are among them. And so this term shepherd, an awesome term. My favorite term to describe the work of an elder because of the imagery that it elicits. You think about a shepherd, again, out in a field, shepherding his sheep. What does a shepherd do? He provides protection, doesn't he? A shepherd is scanning the horizon. He's looking out for predators. He's looking out for some type of threat that could undermine, that could destroy the sheep that he's leading. Well, local shepherds of local congregations are given the responsibility to protect the sheep that they are among. In Acts chapter 20, Paul, speaking to the Ephesian elders, says in verse 29, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Paul says, be on guard because predators are coming and you need to help protect the flock.
And so our shepherds are given the responsibility of scanning the horizon, of looking for false teaching and sin that could be a threat to our congregation, and being proactive in heading those things off. We think about the care that a shepherd gives to his sheep. You know, sheep, they sometimes get sick, they sometimes get injured. And the shepherd does what he can to nurse that sheep back to health. Well, we people, we get sick and we get injured. And yes, physically, but spiritually. We get sick and we get injured. And it's the shepherd's responsibility to do what they can to nurse us back to health, to strengthen us. And this can take place through encouragement, through spiritual counsel, through prayer. I think about James chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, where James says, "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven." I certainly think it's appropriate for one who is physically sick to ask for and request the prayers of their local shepherds. But I also think what's being talked about here is those who are spiritually weak, spiritually sick, the need that they have for prayers. The reality is, there are going to be many who face moments of spiritual weakness, spiritual vulnerability. And we need godly shepherds to be by our side, or your side, if you ever find yourself in that situation, to strengthen us, encourage us, pray for us. Because we need their guidance. We need their instruction. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, that Christ gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. If you were to look at the terms shepherds and teachers, that could be translated shepherd teachers. Those who teach, those who guide in their role as elders. That would coincide with the idea in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, where Paul says that elders are to be able to teach. Again, we need their guidance as sheep who are vulnerable, as sheep who sometimes get distracted. We need the solid guidance of elders to illuminate the spiritual paths that we should go down. And so they provide this nourishment, this spiritual feeding. Again, verse 2 of our text, it says, "Shepherd the flock of God." If you're looking at a King James version, it says, "Feed the flock of God." Provide for, nourish the flock. And so when we view the responsibilities of elders or of shepherds against the backdrop of a real shepherd out in a field guiding sheep, we see that this is no small task. This is a time-consuming role. This is a role of sacrifice. And this is a role that can be, quite frankly, messy. Because we all have baggage. We all have our own backgrounds that we bring to the table. And that can be difficult. But this is an amazing role that God has allowed certain individuals to enter into. Because this is a role in which these men seek to emulate the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. The one who truly gave of his time. The one who truly sacrificed to the greatest extent. The one who was willing to get involved with the complications and messes of people's everyday lives. Shepherds seek to emulate the character of the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. And as they seek to emulate his character, His shepherding ability, the result is they help Christians, you and me, look more and more like Jesus Christ every single day. What an amazing role. What an amazing honor. Yes, it's difficult, but it is absolutely worth it. And Peter concludes in verse 4 when he says that when the chief shepherd appears, that being Jesus, he says this about elders: you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Troy, Brent, and Chris, God recognizes your work. Serve Him faithfully. Serve Him honorably. And serve with a desire to help His children look more and more like Jesus. And so I encourage all of us to keep in mind the importance of elders as they relate to us as the sheep. And as you go throughout your day, as you go throughout your week, pray for them, because their job is not easy. And they endure many things that none of us are privy to. And they need our prayers. They need our encouragement. And so again, we are going to continue discussing the work of elders in more depth as the weeks come along. But for now, I hope this has served as a good foundation to help us understand just a little bit more what it means to be a shepherd among a local body of Christians. But as I mentioned, an elder seeks to emulate the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, the one who gave His life for you and for me. Well, it's that chief shepherd that you yourself can follow. You can learn from His example. You can emulate His character. And you can be forgiven because of the blood that He shed on the cross for your sins. Do you recognize that you need Jesus this morning? That you're in need of His salvation and only He can provide it? Do you recognize that there is sin in your life that is keeping you from being in that relationship with Him? Repent of it. Turn from it. Say, no more, I strive to walk in the ways of God. Confess that Jesus is Lord and be buried with Him in the watery grave of baptism, where your soul will be cleansed and you will rise to walk in newness of life. If there's anything that we can do for you of a spiritual nature this morning, we encourage you to let it be known as together we sing the song that Dan has prepared.